Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Star Wars Geek Girl. I'm Zoe, and as usual, I'm here with Lizzie.
Hello.
And we are going to be talking about the Star Wars.
Star Wars. There's many Star Wars. Today.
There is. So we have an episode of Bad Batch to talk about, but first we're going to talk about some news that came out about Visions Volume 2. Volume 1 came out last year and was amazing. Mm-hmm. And they just announced the release date as well as the studios for Volume 2. So Volume 1 was all Japanese studios.
Yeah.
It seemed like it. This time it's a lot of different studios from different countries around the world. 9 in total, I believe. I think last time was also 9. So it's very cool to see a wider multitude of perspectives on Star Wars. I'm very excited for. Mm-hmm. And it also comes out now on May the 4th. Will be Visions Volume 2.
A perfect May the 4th gift for us.
Yes. Very excited. So we have titles, studios, and directors for each one. We don't have, mm-hmm. I think for Volume 1, they also had like the cast. When they announced, they also had like the cast and a little synopsis of each one. They don't have that here, but that's fine with me. Let me be surprised. So our first one is called Sith from El Giri mm-hmm. Studio, directed by Rodrigo Blas. So I looked up the studio and I found like nothing from it, so I assume it's a newer studio, but it was founded I think by this director, who is very experienced. He's worked with Stromboli Animation, Blue Sky, and Pixar. So he's worked on Finding Nemo, Ice Age, Incredibles, Ratatouille, WALL-E, as well as an Oscar nominated short film, La Luna.
Oh,
he worked with Guillermo del Toro to create Trollhunters, which I think was a Netflix series. I've not seen it, but I've heard very good things.
I've seen like clips. That's it.
I know it has a very dedicated fandom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's 2021. It was founded, and it's the studio is in Madrid, so it's a Spanish studio. So. Mm-hmm. Very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah. Which one are you most excited for?
I only read the first one. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Hurry up.
Okay. The second one is called Screecher's Reach, which is from Cartoon Saloon. Which Cartoon Saloon I have here. Is an Irish studio that created Song of the Sea, My Father's Dragon, and Puffin Rock. Full disclosure, mm-hmm. haven't seen any of these.
No, but I've heard trailers.
I've That's heard it. Very good things about Song of the Sea. I know I have a friend who really loves that movie. I'll watch it at some point. But I've heard that's a really incredible studio. Mm-hmm. And also it's an Irish studio. My grandfather was Irish. So it'll be cool to see little Irish influences, little Celtic influence. Mm-hmm. And the director is Paul Young, who founded the studio. And he's an Oscar, Emmy, and BAFTA nominee. Pretty cool. Hmm. The next one is In the Stars from the studio Punk Robot, directed by Gabriel Osorio. It's a Chilean studio, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, behind Bear Story, which was the first Latin American animated short to win an Oscar.
Ooh.
As well as some other children's television shows, including Lipos. I'm going to butcher all these. I'm so sorry. Mueve Carlita and Soccer Girls. Yeah, so very exciting stuff. This is a 3D animation studio, according mm-hmm. to StarWars.com. So. Super cool stuff. I don't know if you can hear Freddy snoring.
I can. He's putting his word in. He wants to be heard.
Also here. I hope it's not terribly loud.
Nah, it's cute. It's okay.
It's ambiance. Mm-hmm. I'm putting him to sleep. The next one is I Am Your Mother from Aardman, which is a British studio, which most people, I think, would know from Wallace and Gromit and Shaun mm-hmm. the Sheep, which are both series I grew up watching and love very much. Mm-hmm. Especially Shaun the Sheep. I feel like it's not as famous as Wallace and Gromit, but Safi and I loved Shaun the Sheep. And the director is Magdalena Osinska. So she's directed some Wallace and Gromit. They do a lot of stop motion animation, so maybe this will be stop motion, but they have also done CGI and 2D, so.
I hope it's a stop motion.
I know. I would love some stop motion Star Wars. Especially like in like the Wallace and Gromit style when they mm-hmm. look so squishy. I love how squishy they look. I don't know
squishy
why.
Squishy and funky.
Yes. also just stop motion is just so incredible as an art form. I do not have the patience. I have so much respect for anyone who's done any stop motion. I mean, I've done like a little bit, but only short ones for school projects. Like anyone who works on stop motion is like, I consider myself a patient person, but I'm not that patient. so much respect for that. We also have Journey to the Dark Head from Studio Mir, which is a Korean studio, directed by Hyung Joon Park, who's worked on projects including Dota Dragon's Blood and Book 3, Lookism, and that's what the director's worked on. And this studio has worked on Legend of Korra, Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beast, and the newer movie Batman and Superman, Battle of the Super Sons.
Yeah, they've honestly done a lot of Batman stuff.
Yes, they've done a lot. Studio Mir has an incredible filmography.
Mm-hmm.
They've worked on a lot of things very popular both in Korea and here in the States. And I'm very excited to see what they do with Star Wars. They've done like a Guardians of the Galaxy animated short, The Boondocks, a lot of things.
Yes.
So, very excited. They've also done Lego Elves, which I did not know was an animated series. But I was like, that's kind of cool.
I don't know what that is.
I hadn't even heard of it, but I was like, nice, Lego Elves. there's also another short called The Spy Dancer from Studio La Cachette, which is a French studio directed by Julian Chang. The studio has done has worked on, I think, at least one episode for Love, Death and Robots, which is on Netflix. Also mm-hmm. Primal and La College Noir, which I've not seen but are critically acclaimed. And the director has worked on some features like The Rabbi's Cat, Mune, and Academy Award nominated Ernest and Celestine.
That sounds familiar. Don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. That sounds familiar.
He also worked on Jendy Tartakovsky's Primal. So, lots of cool things. Then the next one is The Bandits of Golok. The studio is 88 Pictures, and the director is Aishan Shukla. This is, I believe, an Indian studio. So the Indian studio, this is another studio that worked on Troll Hunters. The studio also worked on Troll Hunters along with some animated shorts like Shiroka and a lot of stuff that I hadn't heard of. They also had a lot of like secondary credits on popular things. I think like they were an animation studio that worked with other studios like Troll Hunters, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be exciting. Then we have The Pit, which is done by Dart Shitaiju and Lucasfilm. And Lucasfilm is the only one credited, or this is the only one that Lucasfilm is also credited on as a studio, mm-hmm. which is interesting to me. I'm not sure how that works, because I assume Lucasfilm has something to do with all of them.
But this one especially is pointed out as working with Lucasfilm.
Yes. So I'm not sure what that means.
Freddie's trying to give you the answers right now. You're not listening.
Freddie, you know what? Freddie knows all about copyright laws and studio things and everything. He's an expert. Yeah, but this is a Japanese studio. This studio has worked on Castlevania, Attack on Titan, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Tokyo Ghoul. The only one of those I've seen is Tokyo Ghoul. But yes. I know the others are very popular. I know Axel in particular is a fan of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I like I have Castlevania. Seen some of that. Castlevania's
I've not
good.
Seen Castlevania. I know Safi's an Attack on Titan fan. I like Tokyo Ghoul. I think Tokyo Ghoul is very good. The animation is very good, so that is very exciting.
I made you watch that like so long ago.
You did, and I watched all of it.
A long time ago.
And then I was like, oh my gosh, did you watch season two? No, not Voltron. I was like, did you watch season two of Tokyo Ghoul? And you're like, oh, my parents won't let me watch it anymore.
They literally wouldn't.
And I was like, I just watched all of this because you told me to. And now you can't even watch it.
I was restricted. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, it is kind of fair to not let your kid watch it. I guess it was very gross show.
Yeah.
Like,
I watched it first season, and then I was like, man, I can't wait for the second season. And my dad was like, I'm going to look at this real quick and like check the reviews and like the ratings. And I guess there's like a website for parents but like there's a website specifically for parents that is like, hey, don't let your kid watch this. Hey, this has stuff if you don't allow your kid to watch
it. I forget what that website's. But I've used that website when I'm like, is this going to have something that'll like squick me out?
So yeah, my Common dad, Sense my dad, Media, I think it was.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, my parents probably would have done the same thing, but I just binged it before saying anything. I don't know if did they make another season? I only watched the first two. I don't know if they've made more seasons.
I think it's just the two.
That's the two.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. They've done that. And the writer, director / executive producer is Leandre Thomas, and the co-director is Justin Ridge. Leandre Thomas has worked with Light and Magic, The Mandalorian, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Tales of the Jedi, and a lot more. Justin Ridge worked on Resistance, Rebels, and The Clone Wars, as well as Avatar The Last Airbender. And
I gave him an OP Pit drawing.
Yeah, cool.
Yes, OP Pit's his favorite character.
He is co-directing The Pit. Revisions.
Haha, OP Pit.
I wonder, maybe that's why Lucasfilm is co-credited, because the writer, director, executive producer, and the co-director are both like Lucasfilm people. Maybe. Maybe. That's just my guess. And then the last one here is it's Owls, I think. AAU is the name. Owls Song. Studio is Triggerfish, and it's being the writer and director. Writer directors are Nadia Dairies and Daniel Clark. Triggerfish, the studio, is a South African studio whose work includes Kumba, Seal Team, and The Snail and the Whale. I've not seen them, but when I was looking at their website and stuff, they look really cute.
I looked up Triggerfish, and it's just a fish. I
typed Triggerfish, and it was like a fish, and I was like, oh, it's like a
really
thing.
Funky fish too.
So I had to look up Triggerfish Studio. Nadia Dairies is a director, animator, and a co-founder of Goon Valley Animation. She's from South Africa, so she's also worked on award-winning BBC film Stickman, Revolting Rhymes, and Highway Rat. Daniel Clark is a Cape Town-based director and artist working in animation, film, and illustration. He's worked on Kumba, Stickman, The Snail, and the Whale, as well as a graphic novel, Kariba. Very cool. I'm very excited to get a South African perspective on Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I think, just in media and art in general, African creatives are so often overlooked, especially in mediums like animation. So I'm really excited to see that they're sharing that light, and hopefully if they continue doing more visions, which I hope they do forever, we can get more African studios in different, you know, from different parts of Africa as well. But
mm-hmm. very yeah exciting. I mean, even like the culture of just Africa in general is like amazing, and like to put that into Star Wars, if they do, like mm-hmm. that would be super cool.
Yes, because even like one thing Lupita Nyong'o has talked about is like when she was a kid, she would watch Star Wars and they'd all get really excited because Ninub speaks, I forget which language, but it's a language based in Africa, and like so they get excited about that. So it's like they've, you know, like, and this is something we talked about a lot when Visions was just Japanese, like Star Wars uses so many different influences from mm-hmm. around the world, and like Japanese and American influences are usually most prominent, but it has influences everywhere, you know, like yeah. even like they shoot, you know, like Naboo is all like Spanish architecture because they shot it, a lot of it, like in Spain or in Italy as well, I think.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to see these influences that are taken and then kind of shown through an American lens to be shown through their own lens, through Visions.
Through a space lens.
Yes. So very excited. So a lot of very good ones. Again, we just have titles. We don't really know what any of them are about particularly. Mm-hmm. I think based off studios, just because I'm most familiar with this one and it was such a part of my childhood, I'm a bit more excited for I'm Your Mother. Just because I'm like, oh my god, Wallace and Gromit in Star Wars.
The title kind of scares me though, because I'm like, oh, what's gonna happen? Who's getting like beat tonight by their mom?
It's like it could go either, like it could be funny. I feel like it could be like funny, like almost like not like a parody, like not like Robot Chicken Star Wars, but like a bit like more funny and lighthearted, or it could be like devastating.
Yeah. Or it could be like, hey, I'm your mom, like you're no longer an orphan, or like how dare you.
It could be like disobey your mom. Go so many directions, and again, it's Wallace and Gromit. I mean, it's not actually Wallace and Gromit in Star Wars, but my brain imagining this is like Wallace in a like Darth Vader helmet.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that one. Also Studio Mir, just because I know I'm a big fan of Legend of Korra and I know what they can do with animation, and it's gorgeous. I mean, I'm sure all these studios do very gorgeous animation, but Studio Mir, like because I'm a fan of some of their work, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me see. I don't know. I'm kind of excited for the one that Ridge is doing. Which one is that one again? Let me see. Hold on. Where is it? Where did it go? Yes. The one that works on Tokyo Ghoul?
Yes.
Yes, that one. I don't know. I like Justin Ridge. I liked what he did in Avatar, and I also liked what he did in Resistance. So I think he can do something really good. He did a lot of episodes, which is funny because I looked it up like a while back. And he worked on a lot of the episodes where Momo, like the monkey, like yes. has like his like times alone. Like he directed those parts.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I think the pit's gonna be very good. My only thing, this isn't like a bad thing, but because it's two people who like have worked on like canon Star Wars, mm-hmm. I think I'm just personally for Visions a little more excited for like the different kind of Star Wars. Does that make sense? But I am very, very excited for all of them. I think they're very exciting. I think Owl Song could be really good, because just based on a quick look at like Triggerfish's website, a lot mm-hmm. of their work uses animals.
I'm also
I'm curious to see, you know, I think one thing I like about Visions, like with like the Village Bride for example, was there's like some focus on like nature and that mm-hmm. part of it, and that's something I always like in Star Wars. So, and you know, they could have no animals in this, like I'm just guessing based on their previous work, but seeing some like animal focused stories in Star Wars I think could be really cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for all of them, especially because they're not just Japanese like studios. So like, and since I haven't watched Song of Sea, I'm kind and like I keep seeing like trailers for it because every time I watch there's a Studio Ghibli film that I would sometimes put on, and it would just be Song of Sea, like trailer that's like 3 minutes. And I never skip it because it just looks gorgeous.
Yes.
So
Yeah, I love
Screechers
that. Again, I haven't
is.
seen Song of the Sea, but I love the animation style. I think it looks really cool and really interesting. And
I
I'm
think
really
it looks
excited to
really cute.
see. I think that's something I'm very excited for is so many different animation styles. Like some, like we have I think it was even before this announcement, there was mentioned that like there's gonna be a stop motion one, which I assume is Aardman. So getting to see some different CG animation and different 2D and stop motion and all these different animation styles is going to be very exciting. Because while the volume one had different animation styles, they were, I think, still all 2D or 3D stylized to be look like 2D.
Sorry,
Freddy.
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 So funky.
And so they were. While they were visually different, there's still a lot of them were fairly similar. And so getting to see so many different styles is very exciting. And you know, especially because I for the past, well, I mean, since Resistance ended, with the exception of Visions, all animated Star Wars has been the same style. They've been doing the Clone Wars style, which is beautiful, but I'm excited to look at some variation. I think that's one of the cool things about animation is you can have two projects that look totally different from each other. And I'm really
Yeah,
excited to
and just a
see
different
that in
story
Visions.
as well.
Yes.
Having different stories, like a breath of fresh air, almost like away
Yes.
from the Skywalker drama or like just the Empire or First Order. Like it's just fresh,
Right.
whatever
And
these
it's.
people want to portray.
And without as much a worry for like, oh, is this canon? And like fitting it in, like just being able to do whatever they want. Which to me, honestly, I fit a lot of the visions from Volume One. I fit those in canon. I think a lot of them can work pretty well in canon.
It's a big galaxy, so.
Yeah, it's a big galaxy, you know, in time, you know, if it's thousands of years before, like, you know, or thousands of years after, you know.
Especially because they don't use a lot of like characters like from the Star
Yeah,
Wars,
I think
with the
volume
exception of like
one,
Boba Fett.
I think Tatooine Rhapsody was the only one with pre-established characters in volume one, I think. Because you had Boba and Jabba and a few other, I think like Bib Fortuna was standing there.
Which one was your favorite from the first season?
Definitely the Village Bride.
Okay, that's what I figured.
Personally, I love that one.
Yes.
And I'm excited for more. I hope we also got a beautiful novel, Ronin, based off of The Duel, which since the novel comes out, I always accidentally call Ronin. I'm like, yeah, like the Ronin one in Visions. Like, oh. It was. So hoping to get a novel or two out of some of these. Because I don't know. I'm very excited for
Yes.
really for all of them. Screech, like even the titles, like some are like, oh, Sith in the Stars,
I
but
think
like
I really like the
Screechers.
I Am Your Mother like title.
Yes, no, that's a great title, but also like Screechers Reach, like what does that mean? Or like Journey to the Dark Head, the Bandits of Golak. What's Golak? You know, there's so many things. Well, Golak kind of reminds me of the Ewoks animated series. Because everything was like you have like the Ewoks and the Duloks and like all these different things. So that reminds me. I'm sure it's not connected at all. I'm sure it's just a name.
We'll see.
Although if you ever find yourself being a little too like serious about Star Wars, just go on the like Wikipedia page for the Ewok series and read through the names of things. Be like, oh yeah, this is a little silly. It's a little silly Star Wars time. That's
Little
okay.
silly, silly goofy.
Because I was looking up something for the Ewok. I was looking up something in this Ewoks animated series, I was on the Wikipedia page, not Wikipedia, Wikipedia page for it. And I was just laughing reading the different names. It's like when they're, because when you're watching the show, you don't think about it, but when you're just like reading them all listed out, you're like, oh, this is ridiculous. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love Star Wars.
Yeah. You gotta have fun with Star Wars.
You got, like, I'm on it now. You have Ploob, the Gonster, Baga, the Flogs, Umwak, Gorniche, Lumont, Zeffy, Nippet, Milani. That's a nice name. Yeah, it's just silly. That's why we love it. Right, Freddy?
Yes. Freddy agrees.
Yeah, well, that is Visions Volume 2. I'm very excited. We have May, till May 4th. We have to wait till May 4th, but we have lots of other Star Wars to hold us over in the meantime, mm-hmm. including The Bad Batch.
Yes, which this episode was Tribe.
Yes. Episode 6, Tribe. Spoiler-free thoughts. I loved it. Very great treat for Clone Wars fans, which I think everyone watching The Bad Batch is a Clone Wars fan. I can't quite
comprehend.
I would
imagine so.
Like, there's some things I'm like, okay. There's a lot of people watching, like, The Mandalorian without Clone Wars or Rebels or whatever, but I'm like, who's watching The Bad Batch that hasn't seen Clone Wars? Like, there's not even a knock on The Bad Batch, but it's just kind of like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're heavily connected.
Like, I'm sure there's someone out there, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, very good episode for Clone Wars fan. Very sweet. A lot of little character moments I liked. Mm-hmm. We're starting to see some growth. We're starting to see, I think, some of the themes are really pulling together as we go on. They're becoming very apparent.
Mm-hmm. And again, I like episodes like this where it doesn't entirely contribute to the story, but it's still like just really good. And it's still like a cute episode to be like, oh, I remember those characters mm-hmm. from originally the Clone Wars. But yeah, like you said, character development in some of the characters that we see is really cool.
Yeah. And I think, in my opinion, I think the first two and the first three episodes really established some strong like themes for mm-hmm. the season. And I think this episode is contributing to those a lot. So even I know like a lot of people are like, but where's the plot? And I'm like, it's not really about the plot. It's about like the themes, which I personally think are a bit more important, at least in the structure they're telling the story with.
Mm-hmm.
But very good episode. I enjoyed it much. Freddie, what do you think? He said big sigh is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that means, but all right. So suppose ahead now for The Bad Batch episode 6, Tribe.
Yes.
So the episode starts with the Bad Batch on a space station selling some forged chain codes. Tech has been doing some forgery. And they're selling them to, like a droid. It seems, at least seems to me, like a droid crime empire thing. Which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's cool.
I like it. I also think it's funny because they're so rude.
Like, they are the rudest droids ever.
Like, and I was telling my dad, I was like, they're just so rude. And my dad was like, well, like, droids are always rude. And I was like, no, they're like to the point. To the point isn't rude, but these ones are just rude.
No, droids are very literal, you know? And I think some people think that's rude, but that's just how they are.
Yeah,
but no, these droids are rude and they know it. They are trying to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think I like seeing droids do things. I really like, I think if anyone is curious about droids doing things, you should totally read, like, Last Shot, because there's a lot of droids doing their own things. It's also really messed up, but it's super cool. I don't know. I just like droids being like, we're gonna do our thing. I know there was, like, oh, you know what? I wonder, there's, like, a droid crime empire in one of the Solo prequel novels. Most Wanted, it was. There's one of those. Wonder if it's connected. I don't know. I like it when droids are, like, doing droid things. No organics allowed. Are we Freddy?
Freddy, you gotta talk. It's a podcast. Come on, Freddy. Keep it up.
Come on, Fred. He had a pup cup. He's a little sleepy. He tired himself out. Takes a lot of energy.
You gave him a reward before he podcasted.
I know. I know.
Spoiled baby.
He's so spoiled. He's the most spoiled dog. He gets whatever he wants all the time.
Yeah.
But
the droids, they're trying to make a trade with Bad Batch. It's like the codes that they use for getting into, like, I don't know, like, because the Empire is starting to enforce, like, having codes on you.
They have codes. They have so many codes for everything you do. Yeah. Who knows what these chain codes are for? It could be for, like, ship passage, people passage.
I think it's people, but I have no idea. I think it's funny because Tech was like, I made these myself. I know they work. And the droid's like, Anyway, double check them.
Yeah. See, droid, if you're so unsure of an organic's ability to make train codes, then why aren't you just making them? That's what I don't get.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but so it's like Hunter, Wrecker, and Tech are the ones talking to the droids, and Echo and Omega, they're like, okay, Omega, stay on the ship. It's like, well, we know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Well, you said that.
She stays with Echo, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yes, G and Echo are there. Omega hears something and goes to look, and she finds two droids poking a poor Wookiee.
Which who I have to say, sorry, like when she hears the noise, I was so glad that I had subtitles on because I could not hear anything. I don't know, if it's not on, you know, subtitles, I can't hear anything. And so it just said Wookiee growling, Wookiee screaming. And I was like, wow, well, thanks for
oh,
the
I wonder what that is.
Spoiler.
Yeah, but she sees them poking poor Gungi with electro staffs.
Like, and possible teenage Gungi?
Yes. I'm not sure how Wookiee... I know Wookiees have very long lifespans. I'm not sure how their, like, growth works. Like, how fast they grow in that lifespan. But yeah, he looks a little bit older than as he did in the Clone Wars, but not that much. He looks about the same.
Yeah. It's a little taller.
Yeah. Although, it's hard to compare his height because none of the characters he was with in those episodes are here. Like, he wasn't even with clones. We can compare to, like, Echo.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she helps him escape. And she's like, they're like, oh, come with us. And he goes with, and he has his lightsaber, and he takes his lightsaber out, and he's awesome.
And yeah, because he's like trying to look for it because they hid it. So he goes and he finds it. And then he goes.
I think it was on the one droid. Like, the one droid had it on his, like, I guess it's not a belt. What? Because why would a droid wear a belt? But the droid, like, had it. And he, like, force-pulled it. And he is the best lightsaber, I just have to say.
I like the
wood is, like, top tier.
Green? Gorgeous.
Yes. No, he is the best lightsaber hilt. I'll die on that hill, honestly. It's so pretty.
Yes.
Yes, and so obviously the clones are like, oh, this is a Jedi. So they pretty immediately know, like, okay, he escaped Order 66. Like, he's in trouble. Like,
and probably also scared of us.
Yes, because Gungi's, as soon as he sees, I think it's Hunter's face he saw first, Hunter or Echo, and he immediately is like, he almost shuts down, but he's kind of in a position where he's like, okay, either I stay with these droids that were poking me, or I go with these weird clones.
Yeah, these funky looking clones.
Yeah.
And that I haven't killed me yet.
Yes, and I also think Omega being there helped quell him a little bit, because she was the one that helped him in the first place, and she was still very kind and was like, so, because I think if Omega wasn't there, I think he could have had a different reaction, personally, but they do, they get him on the ship, but once they're on the ship, he's like huddled up and hiding in the back, very scared baby.
Yeah, I like that, you know, Omega gives him a tray of food. I don't know what that food was, but it was just cylinders. Like, they were all cylindrical. Me of,
in the Clone Wars, the clones eat little, like, cylinders in a couple episodes. And as a kid, I always thought they were just cheese sticks. So I thought they just ate, like, cheese sticks.
It could be taquitos, too.
Oh, just rolled up. They seem a little very, they seem like very... very even
I guess like giant cheese stick, because there was like a really big one in there, I think, if I remember
it's
correctly.
Just all different flavors of cheese. That's
it's a charcuterie board.
All clones eat is cheese. They're the least lactose intolerant people you'll ever find.
So he's eating and he's talking about how he wants to go home, he wants to go to Kashyyyk.
Yes,
which
he's...
is
I also, something I really appreciated too was, you know, obviously the clones know, like, what happened. As soon as they see the lightsaber, they pretty much know what happened to this kid. And they're like, he's not going to trust us. And, like, that's okay. Like, we'll give him his space. We'll still be kind and help him, but we're not, you know. They're very understanding of that, which I thought was very kind. And part of me is kind of like, you know, obviously with Caleb Doom, they tried to help him, but he was too scared, understandably so, and ran away. So,
well, Crosshair also like, shot at him.
Yeah, Crosshair didn't help. but the others who didn't shoot at him. So I think part of me is like, oh, like maybe this is them, you know, they're remembering Caleb and they're being like, well, you know, we couldn't really do as much for him, but at least we can help this kid. You know.
Sad. But we also kind of know what's going on in Kashyyyk at this point.
Yeah.
Kind of getting destroyed.
This is still
cool.
Pretty early into the Empire's reign. So it's not fully like it is by like Solo or Rebels, where like all the Wookiees are enslaved. Even it's not, we're not even at Jedi Fallen Order yet, when everything is like on fire.
Yeah, but so, it's more so we know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, well, and we know we're in the process of that. But they get to Kashyyyk and they're looking. Gunji saw a village in his vision, and so they go to that village, but it is gone. Sadly. There's also creepy spider things.
Yes. Sorry, Freddy.
I know, Freddy. You're so loud.
Where is he?
We'll come up. He's right next to me.
Okay.
No, he's not like across the room. Okay. He's right next to me. Because see, I'm sitting on the couch, and if I'm on the couch and don't let him come on the couch, he'll cry. And he is spoiled, so.
Yeah. But yeah, there's the spider things, and Gunji, like, they're ready to shoot them, but Gunji is like, no, if we don't touch them, they'll be cool with us. Don't mess with them.
As someone who's played Jedi Fallen Order, though, I must say, in that game, the Wookiee, or the Kashyyyk fauna are not that kind. In that game. They're so mean and scary. Maybe Cal Kestis just has, like, horrible vibes, and that's maybe he just has horrible force vibes, and they're like, ew, hostile creature. Yeah, but they find the destroyed village, and Gonji's very sad because he, you know, he was taken from Kashyyyk to the Jedi Temple as a baby. So he has only his dreams of Kashyyyk, really. And this was one of them, was this village. So we can assume this probably was his village, and where his parents were. So poor Gonji.
Very sad. But they go and they hear like Wookiee yelling, and so they go and they see that there's Trandoshans. These jerks are back. I was so mad. So I don't know what they have against Wookiees. Why?
There is such beef. It's really like, it's really not cool.
No.
And like, I, you know, I don't know everything, but just like based on like what I've read, I really can't find like any reason why the Wookiees, like if the Wookiees did anything to the Trandoshans, like it really just seems like the Trandoshans are like, I'm gonna get some fur. Like, I cannot find anything on the Wookiee side except for what, you know, Wookiees being mean to Trandoshans
I'm
getting
sure
hunted all the time.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I was like, yeah, they're probably mad.
No, I mean, of course, Wookiees have very understandable beef with Trandoshans. And I'm sure that like perpetuates this cycle where like a Trandoshan's like, well, Wookiees are mean to me, you know, like over generations.
Mm-hmm.
But like I can't find like any, like it's everything is always just like Trandoshans like to hunt Wookiees, and Wookiees don't like to be hunted. It's like obviously.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I would like to be hunted.
No,
even
I don't
lately
be.
when I'm on Overwatch and I'm playing Widow, it's hard. It's not even hard to play Widow to just get shots. Even if I don't kill anyone, they all target me.
That line and they're like, I know. It's like, listen, I'm not that good.
Like I can't kill you. Don't worry.
Like I'm just like, leave me alone. That, or if you play like half the time playing support anymore.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, you're healing. Like, you know, and it's a good obviously it's a good strategy. But it's I teleport to an ally as Kiriko, and they're like, oh, you have chosen death.
Yeah, or it's even if I'm like by myself, I could be like just like leaving spawn and they just like see me and I'm like, I'm not even healing anyone over here. Like there's no one to heal. It's hard. But yeah, basically Wookiees to Trandoshans. So yeah, they, which,
and there's like a Wookiee, there's Trandoshans, and they have a like Wookiee prisoner that they're being mean to. And Gunji pulls out his lightsaber and they take out, they have like tanks, they have like old separatist tanks, which is cool. I don't know. I mean, it's not cool. I don't know. I like seeing like stuff being repurposed.
How did Hunter know? Because they float.
Well, he has his like electromagnetic whatever thing. Right?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
So
I'm like, how did he know?
Isn't his tracking like electromagnetic or something like that? Not electromagnetic. I don't know what it is.
Like, I don't know. I just like, he said it and I was like, those things float.
Those knows.
Those things are floating.
He just knows.
He can smell it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unless, but like, maybe, like, when they float and they're, like, because they
debris.
Float by, like, pushing, like, they're pushing air or whatever, like, down onto the ground. It's, like, there's a track of, like, not necessarily, like, wheels going over, but, like, they're floaty pads. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. I don't know how that works. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so they fight the Trandoshans with tanks and free the Wookiees. I think it's just one Wookiee. But they free the Wookiee, and the Wookiee, oh, you know what else happens? There, a fire gets started from the fight, from, like, the blasters and stuff.
Yes.
Like, oh, we gotta put out this fire! And I was like, you know, that always happens in Star Wars. There's a battle, and they're in the woods, and then there's fire everywhere.
And then
like,
no one
ever
like,
worries about the forest fire. Like, I really appreciated that. I always think that Hi, Freddy.
Yeah, because they just, they were like, grab all the shovels. Like, where did they get the shovels, first of all? Second of all, like, whatever. But, like, you know, they just had a bunch of shovels in their,
Hey, they probably needed to, like, dig out if their tank gets stuck or something.
Maybe, I guess.
I don't know. But, I was thinking about that when I play Battlefront 2 in the story mode and you're on Endor and there's fire everywhere. I'm like, well, someone's got to put this out. It's like this whole planet's a forest. You're going to burn like everything down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I was like, you know, good on you for like acknowledging that. You know, yeah. No forest fires on Kashyyyk, please. Mm-hmm. They need Smokey the Bear in Star Wars.
Yeah. There's one, I don't remember what country it is, but they also have like a Smokey the Bear, but it's not a bear, it's a frog.
Smokey the Frog?
I don't know. It's I don't know what country it is.
Maybe
but
they have maybe they have like a Smokey the Wookiee and like a Smokey the Ewok. Like every foresty planet has its own like Smokey thing.
Yeah. Smokey, no. That's not it. That's just an actual frog. Smoky jungle frog. I don't know.
I'm going to Google now. Fire prevention frog. That came up. Oh, here. 6 different vintage forest fire prevention characters.
Oh.
We got Smokey Bear. Woody. The talking log.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, you know, a wood log would have vested interest in.
Yeah.
Not for any forest fires.
Experience.
Yeah.
The fire wolf.
There's, yeah, the fire wolf. Cal Green.
I don't know what that is. Gooberith.
He's just a guy. Just a guy.
A fire bug. Joe
like
Beaver.
A lightning bug?
I think.
Joe Beaver. Oh, that's a great name. Joe Beaver. I love that. There's no frog here.
I don't see it. I don't know. It was like a joke that some comedian made because he was like, you know, they have this. That's funky. I was like, I guess that is
Smackle the Frog?
Smackle the Frog? Is he a forest preventing thingy guy?
Oh, apparently it's not true.
Ah.
It's Smacky the Frog. Sorry. Smacky the Frog.
Yeah, that makes me sad. The joke was a lie.
You were lied to by this comedian.
I was lied to by Mitch Hedberg himself.
Come on, Mitch.
Yeah. Jeez.
Anyway. Smacky the Frog should exist.
Yes. But, yeah. They should have a fire prevention mascots in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It could be one of those weird spiders on Kashyyyk. Be like,
oh, don't tread on me.
That's not fire prevention.
No, but it could be for the spider. Just put that on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
What are you doing, Freddy? You sitting up? You have something to say? No. No. Nothing to say.
Nothing
just
to say.
He sneezed. Wow. That's all.
Come on, Freddy. Pull your weight around.
But this Wookiee, after they stop the fire, he takes them to the Wookiee village. They have these awesome like cat things that they ride. They're like huge cats. And I love them.
Oh yeah. It's like cat/monkey looking, and they're different colors.
Yes.
They're really cool.
I really love them a lot. They were great. They were like, Freddy, are you going to get water? What do you want? My goodness. Yeah, just from a quick Google, Dave Filoni designed them for an episode of the Clone Wars that did not get made that would have taken place in Kashyyyk. And this original Dave Filoni sketch, they look more like a baboon than a cat.
Yeah.
But actually, this is really funny. George Lucas did not like the creature's head in the initial sketch, So Filoni covered it with a post-it note and drew a second face that Lucas approved. That's really mm-hmm. funny, actually.
Yeah.
Just put a post-it note over and redraw it. That's mm-hmm. so cute.
But yeah, then they head back to like another village, I guess.
Yes.
Like
a village
another
that has
area.
Not been destroyed.
Yeah, and there's a grandma Wookiee. I think she's very cute.
Her name's Yana.
Yes.
Also in this episode, we learn that Hunter and Wrecker speak Shiriwook. Which, I mean, Tech also has his little translation
I think,
thing. But
yeah, they understand Shiriwook.
Well, Hunter understands it. I think Wrecker was, like, using it.
I think
in,
so,
like, the
too.
One scene.
I think I would, you know, I would get that. I mean, even in like Sabine's little art book, she says like, yeah, I understand Shriwook, but like I can't speak it because it's rough on your throat. So
even in Solo, Han does it a little bit too.
Yeah,
when he first meets Chewie.
So yeah, I think it's funny.
But honestly, it was very cool. So Hunter understands it. Wrecker understands and speaks it, and then Tech uses the little screen thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which was very cool. I really like that Wrecker spoke it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why. I was just like such a fan of that. I don't know. I feel like Wrecker is so often dismissed. It's like, oh, he's the dumb guy. But he's very intelligent in different areas.
Mm-hmm. It's also just like I don't know. I just like the appreciation of the culture here, especially when they
yes.
give him soup. He's like, yeah, I'll take it. Give me that. Like, did you think it was soup or like a drink?
I think it was like a drink.
Okay. Because
my
dad
it
also thinks
been
it was
soup.
A drink.
I
was
I
like,
didn't
soup.
Look like there was like stuff in it. It was just like.
It could be a consommé. Consommés are soups that have nothing in it. Or a stock. Or a broth.
Why'd you just drink straight broth?
I do.
I think it was a drink.
Sometimes.
So Hunter explains to them, he's like, he doesn't know what village he's from, really.
Mm-hmm.
But they just want to bring him home. And he's like, we're helping him. Like, we're not just helping him because he's a Jedi. We're helping him because he's a child in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was very sweet.
Yeah.
Also, some clones, as well as some Trandoshans, find the like damaged tanks and stuff from their battle and see lightsaber marks.
Yeah.
So like, oh, a Jedi. So they gotta
not
go get the
great.
Jedi.
Which is funny because like Hunter was like, "Hey, don't use your saber just in case," and they just like ran with the saber out. So not best idea, but like it got the job done, you know?
So they hang out with the Wookiees for a little bit, and they also pray at the roots of one of the big trees.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, as Yana says, like the tree, when a child is taken, the trees weep, but when the child comes back, they very happy, and they all pray at the roots of the trees for
mm-hmm.
communication with nature and things like that. It's very nice.
Yeah, very sweet. What happens next? I think they like form a plan on how to get rid of the Trandoshans.
Yes, they find out that the Trandoshans are coming back to the village.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a plan. The trees come up with the plan. Gunji says the trees come up
yes.
with the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Hunter's like, sure.
Yeah, we need all the
we'll
help
do the
we
tree
can get.
He's like, we'll do the tree plan.
Mm-hmm.
So then they fight. They go in with, you know, their bombs and their bowcasters and blasters. And they ride the kitties, the big kitties, the My Leia. And they drive them back towards the nest of the big spider guys.
Yes, which I thought was funny because there's one part where, like, they there's two Wookiees that come down on the cat, and they like one of them, they just stand there, and I was like, they're gonna get shot, and it's just like one of them just got shot immediately. And it reminded me of, like, I don't know if you've seen, like, I don't know if my dad's posted it, but like every now and then when my dad plays Fortnite, if he kills someone, he'll emote. But he'll just emote in front of everyone too.
I've like, seen him do that in Battlefront.
Yes, he doesn't just stop. He just does it anyway. And so that's what it reminded me of. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So they fight, they get the big spiders come get them. I also noticed that the Bad Batch were using their blasters instead of the stun mode on the clone troopers, which I think is the first time they've done that to clones. Which is a bit more understandable, because, like, if they leave, like, before they'd usually been, like, infiltrating something. So if they leave an unconscious clone there, you know? But now they're,
know.
Like...
It's also probably because they were shooting at Trandoshans, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, well, shooting at the Trandoshans, but they were also shooting at clones. But also, like, yeah, I think it's
they're
also,
like, we don't have
like...
time to switch back and forth. Just
kill
them.
Well, the thing is, like, if they have, like, an unconscious clone there, when that clone wakes up, like, what do you do with him? You know?
Yeah.
Especially because now they're protecting a Jedi.
The first episode, like, one of the clones did wake up, and they just stunned him again.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
But, like, before, like, they were infiltrating, like, a base. So they leave the unconscious clone. When they leave, he wakes up. It's fine. He's in his own base.
Yeah, that's true.
But here, they knock the clones unconscious. They leave. Clone wakes up. Clone can call for backup and launch another attack on the Wookiee village.
Yeah, you know? Fair.
That's just my thought. But yeah, so then the, like, big bad leader Trandoshan gets in a fight with Gungi. And they're fighting, and he used, like, a flamethrower. And they have, like, he makes, like, a flamethrower circle.
Yeah, which was not a good idea.
No. You know, he really, because Gungi was jumping around in the trees. I guess Trandoshans are also pretty jumpy.
Yeah,
but, like, Gungi's, like, jumping around the trees. It's like, you're keeping yourself in more than you're keeping Gungi.
Yeah, and one of the spiders comes down while Gungi has his lightsaber out. Which, how do they know that a lightsaber is a weapon? How do they know?
I don't know.
How do they know? Maybe it's just, like, the anger or something that Gungi had in him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe because he turns it off and he, like, calms down. So maybe that.
Maybe.
So, yeah, which is funny because, you know, the Trandoshans, I guess they're just always angry. So, and they're probably, they were, like, the spiders were, like, crab-like, almost, because they just had, like, these little, like, claws, like, these little claw, like, almost crab-like claws, and they were just poking the Trandoshan. Just poking them.
Yes, and, over and over. They, like, take him away and, like, presumably, like, eat him.
Yeah, that was a little scary.
And, yeah, and so Omega and Genji and the others help to clear out his fire.
And
they go back to
Everyone
the village.
Grab the shovels.
Yes, and the first time when they were drinking the soup drink, Wrecker was like, yeah, let's do it. And Echo was like, absolutely not, no thanks. But then when they come back and drink more, Echo's drinking it up with them.
Yes, very nice.
Very nice. And then Gungi is showing Omega how to meditate with the tree, which is very sweet.
Yeah.
And then Hunter and Yana have, and this is what I was talking about earlier about, like, really working on the themes of the season. Hunter and Yana have a conversation, and Hunter is saying, like, you know, like, they're just kids, but, like, they don't get to be. And things like that.
I like that. I especially think it's... I thought it was funny because, you know, Hunter's just chilling with, like, the grandma Wookiee. And then right as they start talking, you just see Tech, like, running up. And he's like, okay, sorry, hold on. Let me translate.
Tech's like, it's my time to translate.
yeah.
Well, and to be fair, like, Hunter said his Wookiee's, like, his true Wook's a little rusty. So he probably needed that a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he says they have to find a new path and try and avoid war. And that's the episode ends there. It was very good, very sweet. I was so happy to see Gunji again.
Yeah, and that he's back with his people now.
Yes, he was my favorite of the younglings from those episodes. And I'm very happy that he's okay.
I like
and all the other ones are okay too. They're all okay.
I like the Kit Fisto one.
He's cool too. They're all okay though. They're
mostly
all fine.
Mostly because he's voiced by Michelangelo.
So, yeah. It was very, very cool to see that. I don't know. I don't think Gunji ever got to be a Padawan. I think he was still a youngling.
No, probably not.
Poor baby.
Or maybe he was and they just didn't mention it. They just, you know, just kind of died. They probably just died in the...
I don't know what the timeline is between getting your lightsaber and then becoming a Padawan. Because, like, it seems like all the Padawans are, by the time they become a Padawan, like, already have a good amount of lightsaber training. So, like, I wonder if he had enough time to, like, get his lightsaber, get trained, then become a Padawan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Freddy's trying to tell you the answer right now, but you're not listening.
Well, because, like, the Clone Wars is only, like, 4 years, so, like, there's not that much time. That was pretty late in Clone Wars. So, I don't know. Maybe. But, yeah. I hope, not necessarily in the Bad Batch, but I hope we can maybe someday learn a bit more about what happens to Gunji after. Because my hope is that the clones, because they were working with the Trandoshans, did not yet communicate to anyone outside about a potential Jedi.
Yeah.
I imagine
that
all happened very
groups,
fast.
Though.
Yeah, I just hope my hope is that because it happened so fast, the clones hadn't yet, like, filed a report or whatever, and, like, told others so that we don't have the Empire, who's already interested in Kashyyyk, coming back and being like, there's a Jedi, you know?
Yeah, because because the clones were going to call for backup, but then the Trandoshan was like, no, I got this, it's cool.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, hopefully the Empire doesn't know there's a Jedi here. And this is a bit of a happy ending for Gunji, but I'm very excited to see, because obviously we know Kashyyyk becomes a big point in the war, and becomes essentially taken over by the Empire. So I'm very curious to see how Gunji fits into that. So hopefully maybe someday we'll get to see that story. But that was one thing, like you mentioned, they didn't really talk about, like, his master. That was something I kind of appreciated. It was there was, like, trust in the audience. They weren't like, we need to show you, like, everything, so make sure you understand, like, even if you didn't necessarily remember Gunji from the Clone Wars, you could figure out pretty quickly, like, okay, this is a Jedi kid that escaped Order 66. Like,
yeah,
they were like, you know, because they didn't throw off pacing by, like, explaining everything. They trusted us to understand, which I liked.
Yeah.
And Freddie liked it too. Right, Freddie?
Yeah, Freddie was very vocal this time. Thank you, Freddie, for your input.
Yes. Yeah, any other thoughts on the episode?
No, I kind of hope we see how Gunji is doing, like a checkup almost. Maybe if he's, like, grown up.
If he makes it, which I really hope he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He could
go hang out
with Rey after Rise of Skywalker.
That's true.
You know,
we have two Wookiees on the team.
There was a little part of me that was like, man, what if Chewie's there? So that would make me so happy. Like, I knew it wasn't, but I was like, ugh. He could still be, he was at Kashyyyk at the end of Revenge of the Sith. Like, he could still be there. We don't know how long he was captured by the Empire by Solo. I hope Chewie's doing okay right now. I hope he's not already captured by the Empire. It'd be a very long time.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
It'd be a very long time for poor Chewie. So I hope Chewie's okay. Freddy does too.
Yeah.
That was an affirmative word. I speak Sheree Pug.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, very good episode. I really liked it. I'm excited to see what they continue to do with this idea of shielding Omega from the war and finding a place in the galaxy in such a contentious time. I'm really excited to see where that idea goes and how it applies differently to different characters.
Mm-hmm.
We also, this week is the mid-season. It's not really mid-season finale because they're not taking a break. But it's a mid-season point. So we're getting two episodes. We're getting episode 7, The Clone Conspiracy, and episode 8, Truth and Consequences. I am terrified. truly, truly terrified. I'm terrified. Who knows? Like, is this going to be connected to Fives? I assume we're going to see Cody, Cody and Crosshair pulled into this, just based on the Clone Conspiracy as a title. I assume we're going to see that clone, Cody and Crosshair narrative that was set up in episode 3 tie into what they've been doing with the rest of the Bad Batch. Maybe Rex. I need Rex and Cody to reunite, like, so badly.
Yes.
So, very exciting stuff. I cannot wait. I love clones. And who knows, maybe the Clone Conspiracy can be connected to Fives. Because that was indeed a clone conspiracy. There could be a connection there. Could be like some clones starting to figure hear about Fives and that, and like, I don't know. I'm very excited. to see where that goes.
Yeah.
So, and very exciting two episodes coming this week.
They're really spoiling us with all the Star Wars lately.
I know. And then, because I just like did my planner where I wrote down when everything comes out, and we have The Mandalorian March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
But even like while The Mandalorian is airing, there's going to be a solid almost a month, I think, where we get Bad Batch and Mandalorian every week.
I think my dad calculated it, and it was like 1 week we have no Star Wars. That's it, and then we're back. So
what week do we not have it? Like, when, what week, like April?
I don't remember what I think so, but listen to the Rogue Rebels and the upcoming Rogue Rebels podcast, and my dad will
lay it all out.
My math dad my only Star Wars math dad, though.
No, why would you need to do, what else would you need to do math for?
Yeah, just Star Wars. There's also Saw Gerrera math, beard math, and hair math.
Yes. so there's, I'm just looking, and there's five, I would have to look at the Mandalorian schedule, but we're going to have 5 weeks with both Bad Batch and The Mandalorian, assuming the Bad Batch, or assuming The Mandalorian does at least 5 episodes, which I'm sure it will. And one of those weeks, we get 2 episodes of The Bad Batch and an episode of The Mandalorian.
I
think, just, I haven't done the math, but it looks like it'll be like Bad Batch through the end of March. Then we'll get a couple more weeks through most of April with more Mando. And then a week off. And then May 4th, we'll have Visions.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. And then Ahsoka's still got to come out at some point. We're still waiting. This year, we're supposed to still get Ahsoka, Skeleton Crew, Jedi Battle Scars, the novel, comes out next week. Jedi Survivor comes out.
Never gonna starve.
No, this is gonna be assuming nothing gets delayed. I do have a bit of trust issues. Because I feel like there's been so many things where they said something's coming out and then it's delayed by a couple months or a year. Between the Star Wars and Marvel, I have some release date trust issues.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming we don't get super major delays. This year, we were supposed to get Mandalorian and Bad Batch, obviously. Visions, Ahsoka, Skeleton Crew, I think, comes out this year. Yeah. Yeah. What, Freddie?
Nothing. Nothing. He has nothing to say anymore.
Yes.
There we go.
He's snoring away. He's so sleepy. He's so sleepy. Yeah, so for some plugs, Star Wars Geek Girl, you can go to StarWarsGeekGirl.com. Twitter and Instagram are at SW Geek Girl, and the Facebook page is Star Wars Geek Girl.
Yeah. For the Rogue Rebels, there's TheRogueRebels.com, Instagram and TikTok at the Rogue Rebels. Twitch at Rogue Rebels podcast, wherever you're listening to Star Wars Geek Girl, Facebook page, The Rogue Rebels, and Twitter at Rogue Rebels Fam.
Yes, I would also like to plug The Georgies, which is an awards show my dad's podcast, as well as a few of his friends' podcasts, are doing for Star Wars Podcast Day on February 7th. And they're doing some awards. I'm not sure what the awards are. I'm sure they're quite silly. Mm-hmm. But it's called The Georgies. Yes. I made a little Star Wars Geek Girl commercial to air during The Georgies.
So ooh,
that
nice.
Will also be there. And yeah, just Star Wars Podcast Day is February 7th. My dad and I recorded a little podcast, just like a very short, like 15-minute one, just to put up for Star Wars Podcast Day. So, very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that was it. Thank you so much for listening. I was Zoe.
I was Lizzie.
And Freddie was Freddie.
Freddie was definitely Freddie on the podcast.
May the Force be with you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.